Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson, 7 in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. It is good to be back. Andrew had me on a couple weeks ago, right before Christmas, I guess, when he was trying to figure out what Santa Claus is going to bring him for Christmas, and I didn't realize I'd be back so soon. But here we are. It's Tuesday, my least favorite day of the week, John. You know,
wait, why is that?
Well, because you had to go to work yesterday on Monday, and then you got the whole rest of the week, and there's just no break.
But it's getting you closer to Friday.
That is true. That is true.
You know, you could look at it that way.
That's right. And we've got a nice 3-day weekend, Martin Luther King Jr. Day coming up on Monday. So I know not everybody will get off on Monday, but a good chunk of folks.
We don't.
I feel like the radio never
it's
gets
24/7.
Off, right? Yeah. So that's fun. So we'll be thinking of you.
Thank you.
So we got a fun show, hopefully, lined up here today. Going to have State Representative Alex Andrade call in after 5:30. To talk a little bit about the special session that was called yesterday. If you remember listening yesterday, Representative Andrade was in the station and kind of broke the news that the governor had called a special session to deal with immigration and really aim at cracking down on some of the things that President Donald Trump is trying to enact when he gets into office on Monday as well, January 20th. And he wants Florida to be ready to act quickly and with a purpose in dealing with some of these immigration issues. The Speaker of the House and the state legislature and the Senate president have pushed back a little bit on the governor and said they're, you know, he certainly has the ability to call a special session. They are required to be in special session as state representatives and state senators, but the agenda and what gets done in that session is up to the legislatures. So kind of a new maybe day in Florida politics where you're seeing, you know, the House and Senate side push back a little bit on what Governor DeSantis is wanting as far as agenda goes. And just kind of an interesting maybe, you know, new day when Governor DeSantis, he doesn't have he terms out in 2 years. He's not got another election coming up that we know of anyways here in Florida. And so does the legislative side of the government in Florida have a little bit more ammo or gas in the tank to push back a little bit? And you've got these huge super majorities in both houses where you probably have a little bit of leeway to, you know, if you got some folks that are trying to stick the line with the governor that, you know, you can say, well, this is the way we're going and moving, and you can either get on board with us or you can stick with him. And so you've got a little bit of leeway there just because they do have such a super majority. But we're going to have State Representative Alex Andrade call in at 5:38 to talk just a little bit about it. He was actually he lives two blocks down the street from me, and I was pulling out of my driveway and saw him zipping off, and he's headed to Tallahassee to go do committee week. So we're going to talk a little bit about special session and then talk what he's got going on with committees. And Alex is, I think, the chairman of the healthcare sector, which is the largest sector of the state budget that he's going to oversee. So I'm sure he's going to have a busy session, busy week, kind of getting into what, you know, what they're going to be looking at over the next 60 days once the session starts here in a couple of weeks. And he'll be back and forth to Tallahassee and hopefully be able to get some big wins here for Pensacola and Santa Rosa County area as he's over there in Tallahassee. So we'll be looking to see how that all unfolds and just get your popcorn ready because I think it's probably going to be an interesting session. And then again, you know, going into next year when we've got DeSantis's last year, he's in office, kind of how that battle continues on. Another thing that we've been paying attention to is the state seats that have not been called for a special election. So we know that Congressman Gates stepped down when he got a nominated for Attorney General. He since then has pulled back from that nomination from kind of some headwinds in D.C. and maybe seeing the writing on the wall that might not be going to work out the way that he had hoped or that President Trump had hoped. But we have, I think, 10 or 12 people is what was just said are running for that seat in the Republican primary, and that is a week from today. So you're going to want to make sure that you make sure you sent your ballot in. If you haven't mailed it already, with a holiday on Monday, the mail will not be running. So if you've got a mail-in ballot, you want to go ahead and get that filled out, look up all the candidates, and make sure you're making the right decision for yourself and your family. And if you're planning on going to early vote, looking up those locations, there aren't going to be as many as there normally are for a general or primary elections that we're used to. I think there's, you know, one or two locations that they won't have. So make sure you're checking out EscambiaVotes.com to see where all of those early voting locations are. And then if you're going to go vote day of, make sure you make a plan. Those polls are open 7 to 7 on election day. And so you'll have, you know, that 12-hour window to get in there and go vote. But we had State Representative Joel Rudman. He's running for this as well from District 3 over in Santa Rosa County. So his seat is empty. You've got a state senator down in South Florida that is has taken a congressional job that's moved up to D.C. or is running for that election. And so they both had to resign to run. And the ACLU has now sued Governor DeSantis in saying that these areas aren't being represented and aren't able to, you know, he should have called these elections already, essentially, for these state Senate and state representative seats for Joel Rudman and the state Senate district down in 19. And so he's pushing back a little bit and saying that really it's the resign to run law and the lack of elections that he's not able to do this because he doesn't have enough time. By the time these folks have to resign to run, there's not enough time for him to set up an election with the Secretary of State and get that up and off the ground and really have times for folks to qualify. And so they're still working through that process. And so we'll kind of see how that unfolds and when those special elections get called. But I know we've got some bills to pay, and we'll get off to commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Join Leadership Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30. Leadership Pensacola's project for 2025 is to help Family Promise of Escambia County remodel a local church-owned home and help Family Promise assist temporary displaced families. Join Leadership Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. Zyrvay, get your GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay, get your GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola, this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on 92.3 and 1620. We are making it through this first hour slowly but surely here on a Tuesday. And we were just talking a little bit, and I didn't get to quite finish a little bit about these special elections. Again, we've got the congressional special election that is coming up here shortly in just 1 week from today to fill Matt Gaetz's seat that he had to resign, or he resigned once he was nominated for attorney general and subsequently has pulled his resignation for that spot. But we, because of that, we've got some two seats in the state down in Senate District 19 in South Florida, and then a House seat, District 3, from Representative Joel Rudman representing Santa Rosa County. Those seats are now empty because of Florida's resign to run law. And the ACLU has sued the governor, saying that he's disenfranchising voters in those areas and not giving them a voice or a seat at the table, if you will, in Tallahassee. And they're saying that he's taken too long to do this. And the governor's pushing back. He's saying that because of the way the resigned to run law is set up, that it really doesn't give him and the Secretary of State for Florida enough time to set up these elections, because the thought is ACLU wants him to put these elections on the general with the congressional that would happen April 1st. We've got the primaries in a week from today. Then the general for congressional seat is April the 1st. And so they're saying that he should have been able to put, you know, state representative district 3 on that same election ballot, and same for the state Senate district 19 down in South Florida on those as well. But because of the timing of these things, he's saying, you know, I didn't really have time to do that. And Representative Rudman has resigned his seat to run. And so that didn't go into effect until the end of December. And so it doesn't give the governor time to set up an election with somebody like Robert Bender's office and the supervisor elections over in Santa Rosa County to hold these elections in time to give people time to qualify, sign up, get petitions, all that good stuff, pay their fees that they might have to pay, and be able to run that election in a proper way. And then you look at the state Senate side, and Mike Waltz, or I guess this guy's replacing Mike Waltz in Congress, but his the state senator from District 19 that's resigning, his resignation isn't effective until March, once that election down there has already taken place. So the governor is saying that this law needs to be maybe revisited, possibly thrown out, and let us move on with our merry way. And I think that'll be an interesting conversation if we start to go down that line. I don't know if he means that the resign to run law needs to be for everyone in the state, or if it's just for state legislators and state senators, or if that, you know, trickles down into your constitutional officers here, so your clerk of court, sheriff, your mayor, city council, county commissioners, because at this time that law is in effect for them as well. So if you're a sitting school board member, let's say, and you just got elected a couple months ago in 2024, you've got a 4-year term till 2028, but you decide that you're going to run for county commission in 2026. Well, the way the law is written in Florida, you have to send a letter in saying that you will resign your seat, win or lose, from the school board as you're running for county commission in 2026, halfway through your term as a school board member, that you'll resign the day after or the day before the general election of that year. And so if you lose that county commission seat that you're going after, you now are no longer on the school board, and the governor would replace who sits in that school board seat. And then they would have an election to fill that term 2 years later, in 2028. So I know that folks that are currently in office, when they are considering maybe taking another step into another elected position or maybe contemplating running for something else, that is something that is certainly a speed bumper, one of the bigger hurdles that they have to really think through before they make the jump and deciding if they're going to run for another office while they're currently sitting in one. I don't know that we've seen that recently with anyone. I know that we had Commissioner Grover Robinson ran for mayor, but those terms were worked out kind of time-wise worked out well because he was ending a 4-year term with county commission while he was running for a 4-year term for mayor. So he didn't have to resign to run because those terms never would have overlapped. But if they would have, it would have been a little bit of a different story. So it'll be interesting to kind of follow that and see if any changes are made, if there's any changes that are made just for state House and state Senate folks. And
that's a lot.
It is a lot. And maybe that's hard to understand on the radio, but I think it's been a kind of a check in place to kind of make folks really think, do I need to serve out what I committed to the folks and the voters, or, am I going to risk resigning this job to go for something else? And so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of unfolds in this special session as well. But anyway, so we'll keep following that. We'll turn just for a little bit here, since we got a couple minutes left before we hit 5:30. And if you know me at all, I'm an Auburn graduate.
I'm sorry.
Oh, come on now. my senior year was Cam Newton, which was a wonderful day to be an Auburn Tiger. And today is also a wonderful day to be an Auburn Tiger. Auburn basketball is number one basketball team in the country. I did reach out to Bruce Pearl's office just on a long shot that he might call in for an interview, but I was told that he has a game today that he is focused on and doesn't like to do a lot of media during the season. So I would have, felt bad if he did come on today and then, maybe the game didn't go as well as we hope it will tonight against Mississippi State. So, this is the second time Auburn's ever been number one in basketball. And so I think the first time was like preseason in the mid 90s. So it's been quite a time since Auburn's been good at basketball. They certainly were not while I was at Auburn, but hopefully we can stay the course and make a run in the tournament this year. I know it's middle of January. We're talking about basketball and March Madness, but anyways, you got stuck with me today, and I know Andrew will appreciate anything positive about Auburn. So we'll see.
Let's check in with David real quick for our headlines. David?
Well, sure. And good morning, gentlemen. The Biden administration is forgiving student loans for 150,000 borrowers. That brings the total number of Americans that have been impacted by federal student debt relief plans to more than 5 million now. The 150,000 borrowers in this relief plan include 85,000 whose schools defrauded them, 60,000 with permanent or total disabilities, and over 6,000 public service employees. And overnight, the Justice Department sent their final report from, the final report from former special counsel Jack Smith, who resigned last week ahead of President-elect Trump's inauguration on the 20th.
Thank you, David. We'll be back after Fox News.
I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Trump committed crimes trying to overturn the 2020 election, says special counsel Jack Smith in a report now released by the Justice Department.
The special counsel said in the report his office fully stands behind the decision to bring criminal charges against Trump and had enough evidence to convict him. Prosecutors dropped the case after Trump won the 2024 election. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
A ceasefire deal to end the fighting in Gaza is said to be close and could be announced today.
Delegates are meeting in Doha, Qatar, aiming to put the finishing touches on a hard-fought negotiation. It would see a phased release of Israeli hostages by Hamas and a gradual withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza. Envoys from both the outgoing Biden administration and the incoming Trump team are involved.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The fighting started 15 months ago when Hamas attacked Israel. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got clear skies. It is 38 degrees in Pensacola. Well, the wildfires in California proving devastating for one Escambia County native, Gary Blank. He lost his home and his business in the Pacific Palisades fire. He's been teaching mixed martial arts in California now for about 40 years. Blank tells Channel 3 that the damage is really just hard to fathom. He says it's horrible to think about how so many people have now lost everything in these fires. Those who know Blank are coming to his aid. 200 people so far have donated more than $30,000 to a GoFundMe page to help him rebuild his martial arts dojo. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos have a new four-legged canine friend. They're looking for the community's help in naming that dog. The choices are Diamond, Dinger, Double, Dugout, or DeLuna. Now, you can vote for your favorite name online. We are going to post the link on our News Radio website. I'm sure the Wahoos also have it on their website. They've sponsored two of these dogs previously. Their names were Bubba and Watson. The special election for Florida's District 1 congressional seat is getting closer. Early voting in the Republican primary will kick off on Saturday. There's 7 early voting locations in Escambia County. It is a closed primary, which means...
It's Republican only, so we have about 102,000 registered Republicans that are eligible for this election.
That's Robert Bender, Escambia County Supervisor of Elections. During the general election in November, there were more early voting locations, but they cut costs by cutting down a couple of those early voting locations. Voters whose locations have changed are being notified by mail, and those letters were sent out yesterday. Now, in Santa Rosa County, there are 2 early voting locations, 1 in Milton, 1 in Gulf Breeze. Their hours are just a little bit different as well. In Escambia County, it's 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. In Santa Rosa, it's 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Well, citizens could be strolling through Bay Bluffs Park as soon as spring of 2027. That is according to a new timeline provided to the Pensacola City Council this week. They are set to vote on resolutions endorsing the partnership with Conservation Florida on that project and authorizing DEP state grant funding at Thursday's meeting.
So the $2.2 million we received from DEP to Conservation Florida, part of the requirement to have those funds released is, of course, the partnership between Conservation Florida and the city. So they want to see that before they release the funds, which we of course have, but the formality of that will be taking place on this council agenda.
That's Mayor D.C. Reeves from last week's press conference. Now, that money will be used to remove unsafe and eroded boardwalks, which most likely then would be replaced with nature trails. Reeves said tangible design elements for the park have yet to be completed. According to the estimated timeline, design, planning, and community engagement could be done as soon as this September, and contractors could be bidding on the project by the end of the year. Rick Scott is part of an effort now to go after swatters. Senator Scott and others introduced the Preserving Safe Communities by Ending Swatting Act yesterday. Now, that calls for harsher penalties for those responsible for swatting hoaxes. Scott described swatting as when somebody provides law enforcement with false information about a crime to create an emergency response at a target address. The bill calls for the suspect to get 20 years in prison if somebody is seriously hurt because of a swatting attack. It's 5:35 at News Radio.
We will see a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 53 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 41. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 54. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 39. Small chance of an isolated shower on Thursday with a high near 58 and a low near 43. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we do have 38 degrees in Pensacola. It is 39 in Milton, and it's 39 also in Gulf Breeze. Our next news is at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A bankruptcy court has approved the sale of Sharon Regional Medical Center to Tenor Health Foundation. This news comes after the 132-year-old hospital closed on January 6th. The closing put some 855 employees out of work. A $20 million upgrade will temporarily shut down an Amazon sorting facility in Findlay, Pennsylvania, and displace 273 permanent employees by March. Meanwhile, another 159 seasonal employees will also lose their jobs at the same time. Permanent employees will have the option of transferring to one of the seven other Amazon facilities in the Pittsburgh area or of leaving the company with a severance package. Two Robinhood broker-dealers have agreed to pay $45 million in combined penalties to settle administrative charges by the Securities and Exchange Commission that they violated more than 10 separate securities law provisions related to their brokerage operations. Futures are moderately higher ahead of key inflation data. That's Your Money Now.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, they understand these complications and have your back. Join them tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join them tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on 92.3 and 1620. It is Tuesday today, and we are getting through. It's good to be back hosting the show. I was here briefly yesterday with my friend Representative Alex Andrade, and he is on his way to Tallahassee for committee weeks this week. And so I wanted to have him call in and talk a little bit about what he's got going on in Tallahassee. I know, Alex, some of the big things you got going on is making sure everybody's sending their appropriations, the money they're asking for from Tallahassee for certain projects here locally, and there's going to be probably less money to give out this year than there normally is.
Yeah. Hey, and thanks, Walker. Let me just say how much easier it is to be on this side of the phone for these conversations.
Very true.
Yesterday was fun, but I told Andrew I'm not quitting my day job. So if listeners remember, as we were coming out of the COVID pandemic, there was all of this federal money that was distributed to states, and it was money we really didn't ask for as a state. We received billions of dollars from the federal government in COVID relief funds, in addition to things like ARPA that local governments distributed, and we had to figure out a use for them. So we dedicated most of that money the past few years to things that aren't recurring. But as a result of this like influx of cash that the federal government was printing, we saw this massive uptick in the amount of appropriations that were actually distributed. And these are, and by appropriations, our whole budget is an appropriation. But when people talk about appropriations, they're generally talking about legislative special projects. And I generally describe them as like the allowance for being a good boy or good girl in the legislature. So it's like anytime you hear about a local group going to the legislature for money, they fill out a form with a state House member and a state Senate member asking for a specific amount of money, generally smaller than our overall budget in like size and scope, right? So like our budget's $114 billion. These asks are generally between like, you know, $100,000 or between like $100,000 and $5 million, right? So in the grand scheme of our budget, it's a small amount, but when you add them all up, we had nearly $2 billion in these special projects last year. And to put that in context, in my first legislative session in 2019, the total amount of special projects was, I believe, around $200 million. So it's a almost tenfold increase in the amount of special projects since I've been in office. And with the COVID money going away, we are most certainly going to be finding places to cut and reduce. And one of those places is going to be the overall amount of money that's going to be allocated to special projects this year.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know I've certainly filled out one of those forms before, and it's a good chunk of information you got to put on there and try and make your case why you think your project or whatever it may be should earn those state funds. And I guess just for listeners that maybe are unaware of how that, not only the process works, which I think you went through it a little bit, but what are some of those, you know, appropriation projects that have gotten funded while you've been in office and been a part of?
Well, the example that you just referenced, Walker, was, you know, the Downtown Improvement Board is working on putting in these Portland loos around downtown. And so we sought some money a few years back for Portland loos in MLK Plaza in downtown. We managed to get that through the legislature in the first year you asked for it, Walker. So great job advocating for it. Unfortunately, that project was vetoed by the governor. That's part of the process. Things like the airport money that we got for the city of Pensacola Airport, or, you know, the $7 million to help with the demolition of the old Baptist property. ShotSpotter was a special project a few years ago. The Escambia County Gateway, generally the ECUA has an ask to help, get some portion of a project they're working on any given year funded by the state. But again, all of these projects are things that don't necessarily get administered by a state agency, get requested by a state agency. Like the majority of our money is spent funding state agencies and the work that they're doing. these special projects, while they have to be administered by a state agency, depending on the project, it can be a different state agency. It's just not something that agency is necessarily asking for. You know, a lot of times folks ask for like road money, and that money comes from the DOT gas tax trust fund. You know, that's not part of the five-year work plan. Those special projects are outside the five-year work program, and that throws in a whole host of other issues. But last week at our delegation meeting in Santa Rosa County, Senator Gates very eloquently explained the circumstance to the folks attending that delegation meeting, and he said it better than I ever could, explaining exactly what that's going to look like this year. But yeah, the folks who generally work every year on these types of special projects, they're just being told now to expect a lower amount. And I would say in the range of, you know, looking at, you know, $400 to $600 million instead of like the close to $2 billion we saw last year.
Right. Are some of these projects, are these normally one time asked for? We've got a certain project, like for instance, you know, we were asking for money for Portland Lou. We want to put that in, so we're going to ask for funding for that, that, you know, DIB and the city was going to match to put those in, and we'd be done. Or some of the, or sometimes these kind of an ongoing request to continue a project and keep it afloat.
It's both. It's a combination. I mean, I've worked and gotten money to fund the Studer Community Institute Brain Bags program since my first session in office. You know, so like those programs, like that funding goes towards ongoing activity. Generally, the safest and easiest are like one-time ask for infrastructure. But obviously, if a program that's gotten some type of support for programmatic funding, like ongoing funding, in 1 year, it makes it easier to get money the next year. But again, every single year, you have to go through the gauntlet of going through session, getting that appropriation in both the House and the Senate funded at the same amount so that it can go into our final budget, and then hope that the governor doesn't veto it. So it is a, it's a cumbersome process to begin with, and now we just have a little bit less money to go seek out. So the folks who feel like they're rolling a stone up a hill every single year, that stone's going to feel a little bit heavier this year.
I gotcha. Well, hopefully Pensacola won't feel that stone too heavy, but I know it's going to be felt all around the state. And we're going to pay some bills real quick, and we'll have you right back on after the break.
The Celtic Angels enable their audiences to experience the real Ireland, celebrating their cherished heritage through Irish song. Five beautiful women with glorious harmonies make up the Celtic Angels. The Celtic Knights, world champion dancers, leave audiences breathless. And the Trinity Band Ensemble with flawless interpretations of authentic Irish music. Join us for award-winning song, dance, and music as the Celtic Angels carry you to Ireland on Wings of Music.
Pensacola Hardware, you know they are the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. Since 1851, 173 years, they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. That's older than Levi's. Like, that's before there was a Civil War. Like, they have been around for a long time. One of the 50 oldest companies in the entire United States. And so that's true. And if you need hardware or supplies or advice on anything like that, they can help you. But right now, it's almost Christmas, and what you might not know is that they are a great place to buy gifts, and not just hardware gifts, but in the front of the house, they have the whole housewares section. So it's pots and pans and knives and grills and, you know, cookware and Yeti merch, lots of Yeti stuff, SEC things. Like, it's a great place to buy those gifts for the hard-to-buy-for person, but that you're going to get them, and they're going to be like, oh, where'd you get this? Pensacola Hardware. So seriously, go there like you're going to the mall. Take your Christmas list and buy for those difficult to buy for people. Now, if you want to check it out online, PensacolaHardware.com for the construction side, PensacolaHardware.net for the housewares and the gifts.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in today at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest. They'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as they are now offering 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress from the cost of healthcare today at 10 with ProHealth.
on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Thanks for tuning in today. It is Tuesday, January 14th, and happy to be here, happy to be back. And I've got my friend and our state representative for District 2, Alex Andrade, on the line as he is headed to Tallahassee for committee weeks this week. And gearing up for regular session. We were just talking about appropriations and how there's going to be a little bit less money this year being sent out for appropriations around the state. But Alex, I know you have already filed, I think, two bills to be heard this session, and just want to get a rundown. I know one's concerning presidential libraries, and the other is about cities being able to create maybe their own charter schools. So if you take a stab, whichever one you want to go with first.
Well, let's start with the more pressing one, which is obviously the making sure that President Trump can build his presidential library here in the state of Florida. So House Bill 69 is my bill. It's a companion bill to a bill that actually Senator Don Gates co-sponsored with Senator Jason Broder in the Senate. It's essentially making sure that when President Trump does inevitably build his big, beautiful, completely gold-plated presidential library,
right,
he's allowed to build it in any county, in any municipality in the state. So as listeners of this show are aware, local governments generally make land use decisions, meaning they make zoning decisions. They decide who gets a development order, who's given permits to construct buildings within their jurisdictions. Unfortunately, we've seen some of that authority get politicized and abused by local governments. And in this case, we have President Trump, who's can sometimes be a politicized figure who tends to trigger some people. When he decides to build his presidential library, it should be in Florida. He's currently a Florida resident, and we wanted to make sure that no matter what or where or when he wants to build his presidential library, there will be no issue in any region of the state when he decides to build it. So we've essentially preempted land use and zoning decisions for presidential libraries to the state. So President Trump and his team don't have to go through a local government meeting, don't have to go through a zoning or planning process at the local government. They can go through the state in order to build their presidential library.
Are you saying that there's some counties around the state that wouldn't want a presidential library in their backyard? Is that what I'm hearing?
I hope he builds it in I hope he builds it in Santa Rosa or Escambia County, but most likely he's going to build it in Palm Beach. And While Miami-Dade's going red and Palm Beach has had some success recently, it's still probably an uphill battle for him to get that zoning decision approved. So I just thought it was a good idea to make sure that President Trump can be honored in the same way all of our previous presidents have been honored by being allowed to build that library where he sees fit. The other bill is a bill about, allowing municipalities to play more of a role in education. Senator Gates has very good ideas about education. He's got a background as a superintendent in Okaloosa County, a school superintendent. And so I'm working with Senator Gates this year on a bill that's slightly modified from a bill that I worked on last year to allow municipalities to play more of a role. It also empowers parents. So if a parent wants to if a group of parents want to convert their traditional public school to a charter school, if they think that it would be better managed as a charter school, they have to go through this process that's nearly impossible. It requires not only a vote of the parents, of children out of school, but it also requires a vote of the teachers of that school and also administrative staff of that school. And it's a cumbersome process that requires also sign off by the principal and the school district, et cetera, et cetera. So we wanted to change it to say if a group of parents, the majority of parents of the school, want to convert a public school to a charter, the only vote that has to be taken is the vote of the parents. And then we also wanted to make sure that cities could actually play a role with a job-specific focus. So cities can now, if this bill passes, work to stand up charter schools within their municipality, focused on drawing jobs to the area and creating jobs for students in that school. So I think it's a good policy. Hopefully, with some tweaks from last year's bill, we can get it passed this year, and hopefully that results in some better outcomes for students in the future.
Yeah, I know this was a bill that you had worked on last session, and so maybe there were some takeaways from the conversations surrounding that bill that made some changes to bring it forward again this year. And I don't know if you had a companion bill in the Senate last year or not, but it seems like with Senator Gates over on the Senate side, and again with his background in education as a former superintendent of schools, it's probably helpful and good to have him as a bouncing board on some of these ideas.
Any chance I get to work with Senator Gates, I will. I'm very excited to work with and learn from him.
Yeah. Are there municipalities around the state that are showing interest in a program like this that you think would be able to work, or you know have some allies on your side as you try and get this bill through this session?
Well, there are examples from, especially in South Florida, where municipalities have actually converted all of their public schools to charter, and they've essentially created a charter district for the city itself. So, like all schools, and I believe it's Pembroke Pines. All schools in Pembroke Pines are charter schools that are run by the city. But the better example I can think of is there was a small town, I forget the county it was in Central Florida, where the county was shutting down the only middle school within the city limits. Because of population decrease, they were consolidating schools. And what that meant was the only middle school in the city was going to go away. The city applied. The city wanted to say, we want to keep this open. Can we convert this public school to a charter school if the parents want it? And unfortunately, with the way that the statute is written right now, cities were barred, that town, the city was barred from converting that school to a charter and keeping it open. So unfortunately, because they didn't have that authority, that school was shut down, and students who were going there then had to drive out of the town to go to school, and that just wasn't something that I think was healthy or beneficial to the parents and the families within that city.
Gotcha. So we'll follow this. This could be interesting. I know I've heard some folks at the city talk about, is this, the conversation was going on last year, is this a way – or just maybe a tool in the toolbox that the city could use to be more competitive with its schools compared to schools out in the county and give, another incentive for people or families to live inside the city limits. Again, I know there's we got a long way to go. I'm sure there might be some changes or amendments to the bill as we go along. So we'll make sure to follow it. And I know, that universities now are able to apply for charters as well, right? Like University of West Florida or Pensacola State College could create its own charter school. I know there's some around the state that do that too, right?
Yeah, no, and interestingly enough, last year when I was working on this, the differences were so a university and the municipality, they can create a charter school from scratch if they want to. They're listed as the specific groups and entities that can do that. But if you bump down in the statute, municipalities are left off the list of entities that can convert charter schools. So a university can be the sponsoring entity for a conversion charter school, but a city can't, whereas they can stand one up on their own right now, out of thin air. So it's little tweaks like that where it's, why was the municipality left out of this portion of the statute when one paragraph above it's included, where we're just trying to clean up some of that, what I think is probably an unintended consequence of the legislation.
Gotcha. Well, Alex, thanks so much for calling in today. We're getting closing in here on 6 o'clock, and travel safe. Enjoy a week, a short week, hopefully, over in Tallahassee, and we'll catch you back in Pensacola.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll catch you after the break.